Of course, you're listening to the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of October, and Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us to take up the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Michael. What was the key play in Chicago today?
I think the unwinding of the week's trade and some liquidation in the ag sector, while we saw short covering in the outside markets, were probably the major feature to the trade. And Todd, I think they overbought technicals on a daily basis, the weaker basis in the cash market, and also the shift in the weather in both Brazil and here in this country were the fundamental factors probably allowing this to happen. But it seemed like this week as a whole was very strongly directed by the technicals and very strongly directed by the investment flows. And I say that because the S&P 500, since the end of September, is down 6% roughly. The S&P Goldman Sachs Ag Index and Grain Sub Index are both up around 5 to 6% in the same time period. So the general trend continued. We just had a little bit, I think, of a pullback today with the idea that we've done enough premium pricing in and risk premium putting into the ag sector until more is known.
Tell me about the change in the weather forecast in Brazil. That's an important one. They had been looking at really kind of dry and very hot conditions. What are we expecting now?
This has been a story developing for 2.5-3 weeks, but it hasn't really gotten any traction by the trade till this week. So it's still very much alive and kicking. You're absolutely right. We're Mato Grosso, where about a third of the crop is grown, and a large percentage of the second Safrinha corn crop is grown, is looking at only 9% planted as of the 16th, and that's about 18% lower than last year. We're talking about a situation where now private sources down there are suggesting very few beans will be on the market come January, when they would normally like to harvest and get the shipments down to the Gulf. And so that then pushes back some of the second corn planting, the Safrinha corn planting. It's not a situation that is going to create a substantial decline in production at this point, Todd. But I will say that the 1.5 to 3 inches of rain expected over the next 14 days is kind of a dual-edged sword. You want it for sure so that you can have enough soil moisture to get the beans in the ground, but you don't want to have so much rain and such a delay that by the end of October you can't get in the ground because of the other issue of too much rain. So this is something we're going to have to watch really closely, because it does have a long reach, especially with the trade pricing and such a big carryover, not just here in the United States, but expectations so big already for South America.
And lead option in the soybeans have been moving higher since the last week of September. That's not very long ago. I'm wondering whether you think there might be the potential that the harvest low has been put in.
I think it's less likely in the soybeans than it is the wheat and the corn. And I say that from a fundamental perspective of what we just talked about, and I also would suggest that from a technical perspective. Both the Dease corn and Dease wheat have been able to get above their 40-day moving averages and hold those on a closing basis. That's something to say when you look at a daily chart with a 40-day moving average overlay on it. Beans tested their 40-day moving average this week twice, could not get above it. And so I'd say on a daily basis, your beans are the roughest looking, technically speaking. And you could kind of see that with the net changes on the week. The corn in the December futures corn able to go up over 4% on the week, whereas the beans only up about 3%. So the trade continues to buy corn and sell wheat net-net. And I think that's a justifiable position to be in right now, because the Ukraine crop for the corn is getting tighter. And I would also say that the wheat crop globally is getting tighter, too. So a lot more competitive pressure potentially down the road in the soybeans.
So you generally have said, and I think I've got this right, that corn bottoms about 3 weeks after wheat. If you're correct, it only bottomed a week after the wheat this time around. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And you don't have that technical buy signal on the corn yet, and the Bloomberg Grain Index and a couple other indexes that I talk to clients about privately, or something that I look at very closely to suggest that we do have a bottom in place. I do, like I said in Commodity Week last week, think there is a long-term or medium-term low in the wheat now in place. And I do think also at the end of this week versus the Friday ago on the report day, the market bears, generally speaking, are walking back their idea that the big crop gets bigger in corn, because they've heard, I think, the test weight issue, and they know we're 19% behind the harvest pace of the five-year average. So I think you do have some really nice-looking features to the corn that we haven't had for 6 or 8 months. Does that mean that it's straight up from here? No, because you still have to get it out of the farmer's hands before the futures market really wants to go higher. And I think this is where we have to be realistic about what upside potential there is. And if we could take out this week's highs in the corn led by the wheat without the beans fighting us, I think, Todd, you probably have the ability to get back up to that 380, 385 level in the March futures and maybe even sneak up under $4. That's what my price model would suggest. And those are good elevated levels that I think sales should be made.
Have you considered at all what the administrative release of the FSA acreage earlier in the week might mean? It's running still behind, although where it's unclear exactly why those numbers are as low as they seem to be.
Yeah, I think that's still, along with the ethanol mandate, two major wild cards out there, and that they could easily, either one of them, feed the bull or feed the bear. One thing that's happened here this week, I think, that's changed some of the makeup, again, going back to the big crop getting bigger, is the not just the harvest delays, but also the export demand. We're now running about 8% above year-ago levels in export sales year-to-date commitments, and so export sales year-to-date. And I think this is something that the negative price watchers and the negative demand watchers are starting to take note of. And so that takes some pressure off the FSA data. I think it takes some pressure off the RFS data, but they're still very big wild cards.
Yeah, so the idea that export demand has been building because we've had such a low price in the corn market would alleviate, even if we had acreage as big as we believe it is at this point, resulting in a 14.5 billion bushel corn crop. Or if the ethanol mandate were rolled back in some form, it might be picked up in part by a better than expected export marketplace for the marketing year. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's exactly right. We had a marketing year high in weekly export sales today, reported a day late because of the holiday. And I think that says a lot to the trade when they've been in a pattern of the last 9 months to go down and seek demand by taking prices lower.
Outside influences that we need to be concerned about, I would think Saudi Arabia, crude oil, Ebola, what else?
They're all tied together. I think you just summed up my biggest fear is that the Ebola scare becomes a bigger black swan in the market, where the market jumps out of all risky investments and jumps back into bonds. They don't jump into the dollar at that point, just like they did this week. And I think that crude oil is an exceptionally important feature to this trade right now. That 79.78 lead month low that we made this week, I think, is a Custer line in the sand. You just can't go below that, in my opinion, because that would entail then the idea that we are losing global demand. And I think with gas prices going down, that's a boon for the potential E10 demand, Todd. And I think it's simply put a tax a check in the pocket of consumers here in the United States. And so I'm not worried about the downside in crude at this point. I just don't want to see these lows this week taken out, especially if it's on new Ebola news. And that's especially given what the World Health Organization said about us in the world essentially having about 60 days to get this under control.